say that on several occasions, his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits. President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting between him and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And an NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh Republicans.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
It is the 8 a.m. hour. Good morning, Ed Dean here, along with Roger Henderson. I'm just, man, my tea, a little strong there. What'd you put in this thing? Anyway,
teabag and water.
222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to talk with author of the book, Florida Made, former U.S. Senator George Lemieux here in a couple of moments. You want to squeeze in some phone calls?
Top of the hour,
let's do it. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Since when did Meathead become the authority on the soul of our democracy? I mean, this guy is ridiculous. The complete opposite of what Trump saved this country. I mean, it's really, anyway, so that's all I had to say.
All right. I thought it was something else he was going to talk about. Let's go to George. George, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. There are really two rushes, and a lot of younger people don't understand that, especially the followers of Bernie Sanders. The USSR, which was a failed socialist state, and the current one, which is hanging on, a fascist state. And the Soviet people quietly talked among themselves, and Thatcher knew what they were saying. Reagan knew what they were saying. And here's some of their points. Number four, as society degrades under socialism, the few people in power strengthen their secret police and secret courts. Well, we see that happening in the United States. Number three, the Russian people would say, we pretend to work for government companies, and the government pretends to pay us. Is a failed system. Number two, socialism works until you cannot borrow any more money. And then Thatcher was famous for saying, number one, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. It's a failed system.
Yeah, it's, evidently it's still being propelled over in Europe. In fact, I mean, to his point, it's failing, but yet they want to continue with more, especially over in Europe. It's selling over there. I mean, for some reason why, people, they're still buying into it. Here on our Newsmaker line, former U.S. Senator here out of the state of Florida and author of the book Florida Made. Go to floridamade.net, floridamade.net, the 25 most important figures who shaped our state. So the Inspector General is going to meet up on Thursday. Michael Horowitz, who was a Barack Obama appointee. I don't know if he ever had any run-ins with this guy, but evidently he's going to sit in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Here with that was Fox Business News' Maria Bartiromo. Hold on, Senator. Here's clip number eight.
Well, you are getting your first crack at Michael Horowitz, the IG,
yeah.
The DOJ Inspector General Horowitz, announcing he will release his report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation this upcoming week on June 14th. Horowitz has accepted an invitation from the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about that report a few days later.
If you were on that committee and you were on a lot of these committees, what? Give me one or two questions you would ask the appointee by President Obama. From what we're being told now, that it's not going to make the Department of Justice and the FBI look very glowing here of how they handled, or should we say mishandled, the Clinton email investigation. What would you ask your senator?
Well, in all of these situations, Ed, and good morning, it's good to be with you again. You want to know, what did they know and when did they know it, and what did they do about it when they found out? And that's really the issue. And what, you know, people in government make mistakes. All people make mistakes. The question is, when you find out, when did you find out about the mistake, and what did you do about it when you found out, or did they try to cover it up? The Clinton investigation was handled poorly. Comey, inserted himself in the election when he shouldn't have. And there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and hopefully the Intelligence Committee will get some of those answers.
What, if I can borrow a term from Hillary, what difference does it make? I mean, if we try to focus more on the Clinton email investigation, we kind of know what happened there. Is the focus going to be more, if you would think, that we're not talking about, what part of the investigation or the question do you think some of them may dive into?
Well, I would say this, Ed, that all of these investigations are important because we're talking about our democracy and elections, which is at the core of who we are as a republic. If our elections don't work, then the whole system is flawed. So, you know, liberals can't complain about the Mueller investigation of Trump or urge it on and then complain about this investigation. We need to get to the bottom of both of them. So I'm hoping they're going to ask the tough questions. The members of the Intelligence Committee, chaired by Senator Burr, are smart folks, and they care about their country. And I would say on both sides of the aisle, honestly, the Intelligence Committee probably works better than any other committee in Congress. So hopefully they'll get the answers they need.
Do you think, I mean, everybody's, not everybody, but, you know, the president and quite a few conservatives, some have not, but some, a lot of conservatives have been calling for the head of Jeff Sessions. And I'm one of these guys that wants to wait and see. I mean, can you imagine if they ask questions? I mean, the question I would ask your senator is on Thursday, the inspector general, hey, you had to get information from the current Department of Justice. I mean, is there an investigation going on? And what if he comes back and says, oh, yeah, the attorney general has been very helpful on getting some of this information. I mean, would the president and some conservatives who've been calling for the head of Jeff Sessions, or am I putting the cart before the horse? Maybe are they going to have to end up owing him an apology maybe?
Well, we'll have to see. Jeff Sessions is a good man, and the idea that Jeff Sessions is not conservative enough is crazy. I serve with Jeff Sessions. He's was one of the most conservative members of the Senate and of Congress in and of itself. So he's doing the best he can by with the light God gives him to see it, and I think he's a good man. We'll see what the questions are. I'm sure that the current Justice Department is agreeing and working with the Inspector General. That is the normal protocol, and Jeff Sessions, the tone that he's setting at that agency is we're going to follow the rules, we're going to follow the law, so I would expect nothing less.
All right, let me throw another curveball at you. By the way, we're here on our newsmaker line, former U.S. Senator George Lemieux, columnist for the Tampa Bay Times, author of the book Florida Made. It's a great book. It's the top 25 most important figures who shape the state. Go to Florida Made. That's M-A-D-E, FloridaMade.net, FloridaMade.net. If Robert Mueller is investigating Russia, Trump, or as some have say, the infiltration by the Russian government into our 2016 election, is it quite possible that he could be investigating stuff on the Democratic side, or do you think it's all one-sided here?
I think it's mostly one-sided. Remember, the Panetta Group was investigated as well, so there is some on the Democratic side, but I think it's mostly on the Republican side. Look, you know, putting aside how we feel about that last election, you know, everybody who's listening on this call is happy with the results. The idea that the Russian government would try to interfere in our election, interfere around elections around the world, is a huge foreign policy, national security issue, and it needs to be addressed. I'm for one, thinking that we should be ratcheting up sanctions on Russia, not welcoming Russia into the G7. They have tried to interfere with our elections. They invaded Crimea. They took part of Georgia back. This is an expansionist Russian government that is trying to reestablish the Soviet Union, or at least the Russian Empire, and we need to be vigilant against them.
The NBC Wall Street Journal poll came out just a couple of days back and said that when it comes to enthusiasm to get out and vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats are at 63%, and the Republicans almost at a 20-point spread, around 43-45%. And the article points out that they haven't seen this level of enthusiasm, and you ought to know about this, you're heavily involved in these races, since the days of the Republicans winning in 2010 and 2014, but yet someone listening to the show would say, wow, those are fake polls. How would you assess that?
I think it's trending Democrat, but I don't think it's as bad as those numbers show. First of all, it's a long way off. We still have a long way till the election. A lot can happen. Trump could denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, for example, and he could be a huge victor out of that and have a huge bump for Republicans. But the thing that's different about 2018 and 2010 is that 2010 we were still in the Great Recession, and economic times are really bad. 2018, the economy is booming. So I think people feel generally good, not everyone. It's still a lot of people are struggling, but more people are doing well in 18 than they were in 10, and I think that's got to benefit the president and his party.
So you're saying you don't buy into some of these numbers. You don't think it's going to be as bad. I mean, remember, I mean, to play on the other, put the other shoe on the other foot. Remember, Democrats were having the same type of attitude in the summertime of 2010, and they got clobbered.
They did. And look, first term, midterm election, president's first term election, always bad. I mean, the only one I can think of that wasn't was 2002, because that was after 9/11 with George W. Bush and the Republicans. But you know, Americans want change. That's the constant trend. They want change. They always are looking for something new because the system is still broken. So I think Democrats are going to gain seats. The question is how many. I do not think they're going to take back the Senate. I think they are going to make gains in the House. Whether or not they will get to a majority in the House remains to be seen. Right now, the predictions are it's about even.
When you've served with Senator Bill Nelson, you know him. You know, he tries to run as a moderate. Is there anything moderate about Bill Nelson? I mean, when I talk to pollsters, and again, they think Rick Scott's going to win this race, depending on money, depending on issues whatsoever out there. Is he a moderate, or is he a liberal Dem?
Bill Nelson votes the Democratic Party line 90%, 95% of the time. So this idea that people really differentiate themselves from their party is untrue. You know, there are rare exceptions. Bernie Sanders and Rand Paul, you know, break away from their parties and vote differently.
Right.
But the truth of it is that most people vote the party line. Bill Nelson votes the Democratic Party line. And he's never had a competitor like Rick Scott. Rick Scott is going to outwork him. He's going to outraise him. And he's the sitting governor and popular governor of Florida. So I think Rick Scott's got a very good chance of winning that race.
But you know what's interesting about the irony of all this is that, and I know there's over 40 House seats that are going to be, you know, whether Trump barely won or Hillary barely, whatever, that they're open up for play. And when you look at conventional wisdom and history, those normally go to the other side of the party. But they're talking about whether or not Republicans lose the House, but they're talking about Republicans gaining in the Senate. So evidently the, quote, Trump effect isn't hurting some of these guys, especially Governor Rick Scott in the poll numbers.
Well, it's, so far it's not. I mean, Rick Scott's on TV spending money. Bill Nelson really isn't. He's gotten a little bit of money from the Democratic Senatorial Committee, and they put up his first television spot. But Rick is out spending him, and I expect that Rick's going to outspend him till the last day. Remember that Governor Scott wrote a personal check in the last week of the campaign against Charlie Crist for governor, an $8 million check to put him over the top. So he's got his own personal financial resources, plus he's around the country raising money. So I expect that this will be the most expensive Senate race that we've ever had in Florida, that will be over $100 million in spending. It could be $150 million in spending. So Rick Scott is formidable. He's done a good job as governor. We've gained back millions of jobs since the recession. He did a great job after the hurricanes. He did a great job dealing with the Stoneman Douglas tragedy. I think the people of Florida respect him, and I think they're going to reward him by sending him to Washington.
Author of the book Florida Made, the top 25 most important figures who shaped the state, floridamade.net, former U.S. Senator, and, of course, Tampa Bay Times columnist George Lemieux. Good to have you on.
Always great to be with you, and thank you.
All right, yeah. I just look at Bill Nelson, and I really am just curious. Is he just not wanted anymore? He says he wasn't. Remember when we reported? He says, I'm not worried about the numbers. I'm not worried about Governor Rick Scott. And I was like, really? And some of the Democrats are like, what's going on with this guy?
What's so interesting is that he is perceived as a moderate to even sometimes conservative in certain parts of the state of Florida. And I think that may have to do with his perception as being very pro-U.S. military. That's the only thing I can probably attribute it
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but not all Democrats are anti-military. I mean, but you got some of these states that. But I'm just saying, he acts like, I mean, it's like, when you look at him, it's like the weekend at Bernie's.
Mm.
They got to prop that guy up there. So, 222 Talk, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-95 going north from Bay Meadows Road to University. We're seeing a lot of backup right there on the traffic cams. Traffic being brought to us this morning by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning. Afternoon with thunderstorms high around 90, and tonight partly cloudy, overnight the low 73. Right now it's 74 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. And Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam is coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that on several occasions, his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
20 minutes after 8 a.m. Good morning, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB. Don't forget, download the app. It is free. Many of you do it. Listen on your smartphones at WBOB.com. This week, Roger, is the two-year, well, I don't, you say anniversary. It's the two-year remembrance of what took place at the Pulse nightclub shooting
right.
That happened in Orlando, Florida. And yet, guess what took place just a couple of days back? There, after 49 was people left dead, 53 injured, some of the surviving victims are filing and have filed a federal lawsuit this past several days. In a federal court, they say that the city of Orlando and police did not do enough to try to stop the shooter. More than 35 victims have signed on as plaintiffs, accused the city of Orlando and the police of the city. The officers, are you ready for this? Violated their constitutional rights of those who were injured and killed on June the 6th when Omar Martin, who pledged allegiance to praise be to Allah, praise be to God, Omar Martin, who pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, went in there for a three-hour standoff and before police killed him in a shootout. But the victim said, nope, the police didn't move quick enough. They violated our constitutional rights, even the survivors, and we're going to sue those guys.
Obviously, this is an horrific tragedy. I suspect that what's happening here is that when someone suffers like this, they want to go after someone civilly, and the only people who have money right now is the government.
So let me ask this question. What would happen if the police came in, guns a-blazing, and more people were killed? Do you know what would have happened to them right now? There'd be a lawsuit taking place.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the police, and this is just my opinion, probably did everything they could do under the circumstances. There's no way they could have known in advance this was going to come down the pike. This is going to happen. And they handled the situation as best they could.
An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm this year, Democrats are pumped. The report showed that 63% expressed the highest levels of interest, along with maybe only about 40, almost a 20% swing here, Roger, of how the Democrats outweigh the Republicans. According to the pollsters, they have not seen these levels of enthusiasm since the days of 2010 and 2014. Remember, that's when the Republicans won big time.
Yeah, this is the Tea Party sweep of the U.S. Congress back when Obama was elected a couple of years later. If this is anything, it's a wake-up call for Republicans to, you know, get the base mobilized and make sure they get to the polls.
Can I ask a question? Are the Republicans, if I can use a Bible analysis, are the Republicans the rain deniers in the book of Genesis with Noah? Oh, we haven't seen rain and blah. It's not going to happen. And yet the flood is coming. Are the Republicans those people? Do they not think there is a flood coming a blue wave coming?
You know what? A lot of times people invest a lot in the White House and who's sitting, you know, at the Oval Office behind the desk. And right now it's their guy. And I wonder whether or not they think Congress really matters that
much. I want to know what you think. Do you think this is a fake poll? I want to know what you think. Is this a fake poll? Because also 45% to 21% said they're less likely to back a congressional candidate who would support Nancy Pelosi. And then they also credit President Trump. So when people say, well, I don't buy into the polls. Well, what polls do you buy into then?
Right. Typically, people like the polls that favor their outcome and they write off all the other polls as being fake. You know, the enthusiasm is down.
Bernie Sanders believes his side is winning. He calls himself a socialist, not us calling him. That's what he calls himself. He said with Chris Cuomo prime time, Chris, my side's winning. Remember, just a couple years back, you guys called this extreme. He skipped winning with the Democrats. He says we're winning with mainstream Americans.
Candidates who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme. That's kind of mainstream America now. The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, rebuilding our infrastructure through a $1 trillion investment. Our ideas are winning, and at the grassroots level, more and more people are getting involved.
He says our ideas are winning. So, yes, the idea of free college, that's what it's called, $15 an hour minimum wage, the single-payer Medicaid for all. Where is this resonating with is this resonating with people in Florida?
You know, if it is, the only place I can think of it may be Key West. You know, I don't think that this is anything other than what's happening in the most liberal parts of the country, like Midtown Manhattan.
Remember what Howard Schultz, the CEO of the very liberal company Starbucks, he said that his party's moved too far to the, are you ready for this, to the left?
That so many voices within the Democratic Party are going so far to the left.
Like Bernie Sanders.
And I ask myself, how are we going to pay for all these things in terms of things like single payer or people espousing the fact that the government is going to give everyone a job? I don't think that's realistic. And I think we've got to get away from all of these falsehoods and start talking about the truth and not false promises.
I wonder who he was talking about right there, Roger.
You know, I don't know, but you know what? If the option of giving everyone a job versus putting everybody on welfare, those are the two choices, I'd rather give everybody a job.
Yeah, well, that would be debatable. Would that still be considered welfare, a guaranteed job?
At least they're working and they're in the habit of getting out and doing something every day and maybe find something else in the private sector further along.
But what's the point if you're still going in the red? And you're giving them a job.
My thinking is it's the first step in the right direction.
Really? So we should be a charity case in order to give charity and help people not have charity?
Some people argue we already are a charity case. Well,
so let's just continue the process?
Well, this is a step out of that if people are working for it because they say, oh, I can make more money working here.
But if you got a company or the government that's in the red,
right?
Because remember, we never even local governments here, we never have enough money, Roger. Why would you want to continue to go in the red to help them out then?
Because it wouldn't be permanent. Because if people are working
every
day,
how do you know that?
I'm hoping that it would at least not be permanent. Because if they work for a government at a low-wage job, now they're working, they're getting some experience, and maybe can get picked up in the private sector as opposed to just staying home and watching soap operas.
So some of you have been emailing me. We played a clip of Bill Maher. I thought this was a comedy joke out there. But wait till he says, I wish that the economy would crash underneath President Trump. Clip number 9.
Can I ask about the economy? Because this economy is going pretty well. We have to, what? Why is that funny?
It is going well for now.
For now, right. Yeah. That's my question. Is like, I feel like the bottom has to fall out at some point. And by the way, I'm hoping for it because I think one way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy. Yeah. So please bring on the recession. Yeah. Sorry if that hurts people, but it's either root for a recession or you lose your democracy.
Root for recession or lose your democracy.
I don't think you can ever tell with Bill Maher whether or not it's comedy or he's being serious.
But yet Jim Cramer, Democrat from CNBC, says, hey, the economy is just unbelievable. It's broad-based.
Getting jobs. This is bountiful, and it's nationwide, and it's not health care. It's mining. The mining jobs are amazing. It's manufacturing. It's construction in a period where there was bad weather. It's retail. I thought retail was supposed to die out. 125,000 now in retail. It's broad-based, and I don't know. I've never seen in my lifetime anything like this.
I'm just kind of curious. I mean, if the Democrats want a new economic message, I'm just kind of curious. Does the $15 an hour minimum wage, does that supersede? Does that outshadow, outshine? Not to sound redundant, the tax cuts.
You know what?
And the economy right now.
I do not believe it does, because if the employers are wanting to pay more money to their employees as opposed to being forced to, it's a better thing.
More as we continue to move along. Talk radio WBOB.
On I-10 heading into town around Cassett Avenue, we're starting to see backup there. The percent chance of rain today, currently 73 degrees here at WBOB.
All right.
Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. And Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam's coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that several occasions his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
At a forum addressing the situation for the summit before North Korea, a reporter was talking to President Trump, where he just said, who are you with? Where are you from? And of course, you know what came next.
If you view it the same way, and do you view the U.S. alliance system shifting under your presidency away?
Who are you with, out of curiosity?
CNN.
I figured. Fake news, CNN. The worst. But, you know, I could tell by the question. I have no idea you were CNN after the question. I was just curious as to who you're with. You were CNN.
I could tell now.
I thought the New York Times was the worst on that one out there. Remember the situation just a few months back? Remember what the liberal media laughed about President Trump dealing and sitting down with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un?
President essentially daring the leader of nuclear-armed North Korea tonight to prove that his button works. This is our world now.
16 tweets today to start the new year, some of them deeply disturbing. These are the messages from a person who is not well, from a leader who is not fit for office.
Trump needs to be medicated and hospitalized at this point, or he is going to just kill all of us.
His recent tweet about North Korea and the nuclear button, the size of the nuclear button, that has raised alarm bells, not just from Democrats, but from Republicans as well.
Remember, that was just a couple of months back. Now let's kind of fast forward. Here is Benjamin Hall from Fox News talking about the historic summit that's about to take place
between a sitting U.S. president and the leader of North Korea. And if it is successful, this could mean the end to the major foreign policy threat currently being faced by the U.S. and its allies, Kim's arsenal, as well as his ballistic missiles, if it is success. But of course, there's a long way to go. Many people feel that this is just the first step in many subsequent steps. He knows that he has decades ahead of him if he wants to stay in power, and that it's going to be very hard for him to stay on the same path for decades. To stay there, for his regime to survive, he needs to change. He needs to move forward.
The Inspector General Michael Horowitz, who is a Barack Obama appointee, sits down this Thursday. He's been invited to sit down in front of a Senate Intelligence Committee to talk about how the FBI, this has been really been heavily talked about, like one of these big blockbuster movies coming down the pike here, Roger, about the handling, or some would say the mishandling, of how the FBI did not do its, again, possibly or not possibly, its proper job or improper job of handling the Clinton email scandal. Maria Bartiromo with that latest news story.
Well, you are getting your first crack at Michael Horowitz, the IG, the DOJ Inspector General Horowitz, announcing he will release his report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation this upcoming week on June 14th. Horowitz has accepted an invitation from the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about that report a few days later.
Here's the question. What question should be asked? If you could ask a question to the Inspector General, who has no authority over anything, he can't call for this. I mean, he can, you know, make, say, hey, I could suggest this, but he has no authority. What question would you ask? Would you ask about, how long did this happen? Mm-hmm. Did you know about Trump-Russia collusion? Roger, my question would be, did the current Attorney General assist you in any way? Because we've been hearing that his head should be on a chopping block. That's right. The question I would ask.
Yeah, those are very good questions. I don't think anything related to the actual incident itself is anything new, because this was like very heavily talked about during the campaign. I think we know what happened. But as far as the investigation goes, some things we may learn.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham had his own list of questions.
Long time. Do you believe the way the FBI handled the Clinton email investigation, it was on the up and up? Do you believe it was fair? Do you believe they were in the tank for Clinton and hated Trump? Was it really a serious investigation, or was it a politically compromised? As to the FISA warrant, do you believe it was appropriate for the Democratic Party to hire a foreign agent to go to Russia to get dirt on candidate Trump, and the FBI and the DOJ use that dossier that's never been verified to get a warrant against an American citizen? I want to hear him say one way or the other whether or not the Clinton email investigation was professionally done on the up and up, and what he thinks about the FISA warrant.
I don't know. That's kind of sum it up. I still would ask about Jeff Sessions.
It'll be very interesting to find out, but I think the one thing that none of us could probably fairly accuse Comey of is being in the tank for Hillary Clinton, because he's not in the tank for anybody, apparently.
Well, here's another interesting question. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Do you think that, again, the leaks or whatever come out, that are you worried that may not be discussed on Thursday? The question that I'd like to ask is, how are the Democrats going to, what questions are they going to ask? I mean, this is a Barack Obama appointee who has been very critical of how, according to what we've been told, very critical of the Clinton email and the handling of the Clinton email investigation. That's one. Number two, if the Republicans don't get what they think that they want, is someone going to call for an investigation of the investigator? That's what they're calling it right now, for a special counsel, out there. Or the question I'd like to ask, and want to know, again, you think, is Jeff Sessions. Should Jeff Sessions should go? What if Jeff Sessions has been a major benefit to helping out the Inspector General for his report?
We heard from Senator Lemieux earlier in the program and how Jeff Sessions is a solid conservative guy. He and I think Mitch McConnell were kind of like unsung heroes, because it was Mitch McConnell who held up the Barack Obama Supreme Court appointment that got a Trump appointee put on the Supreme Court. But Republicans criticized the guy all the time. I think Sessions is probably in a similar situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you and I are a hero for the establishment. You have to see the emails. And I'm like, yeah, I'm paid for and bought for by the establishment.
Right.
Here. But here's the other question. Do you believe, are you convinced that Hillary lost because of the Clinton email scandal? I mean, do you lost because, I mean, is there any proof that she lost because of the email scandal? Because if that's the case, then you could blame Jim Comey for the loss because he brought up 10 days before the election.
Right.
He brought it back up again. But then again, if she didn't, then the email scandal, is this just overrated? Do we need to be talking about this again? Now, the FBI handling, that's one thing. But yet we haven't had, have we had any final conclusion of Fast and Furious? Have we had the final conclusion of Benghazi? Have we had the final conclusion of the IRS scandal in 2013 with Lois Lane Lerner? Have we had the final conclusion of the Department of Justice, but the NSA spying with AT&T and Verizon in 2013? I mean, is this really going to put anything to bed about what we may or may not know about the Hillary Clinton investigation or about the email scandal?
I don't think it was one single issue that cost Hillary the election. I think it was several. Email was one of them. I think that the Benghazi problem was another one. And I also think throwing Bernie Sanders under the bus kept a lot of Democrats home at the general election. But I think more than anything else, she failed to campaign in key areas.
Yeah, I mean, if the Dems had felt there's such an investigation that needs to be going on, as you brought up and several of you brought up an hour in the 6 a.m. hour, why has there been an investigation about Bernie Sanders and how he got shafted by the superdelegate list?
Right.
And Donna Brazile says, yeah, he got shafted pretty much. And his, of course, you know, we put all the emails from, you know, the quotes from his supporters saying that he got shafted by Hillary Clinton. How come no one's doing an investigation of that?
And the Democratic Party, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is supposed to be, you know, independent and fair to all the candidates running. And they were basically running the Democratic National Committee as an arm of the Hillary Clinton primary.
But Bernie Sanders probably doesn't need to do an investigation. He was just recently on CNN. He says, hey, that's what he calls himself, my progressive agenda, which was extreme just a couple of years ago, are no longer extreme. But if you notice, he's kind of skipped about whether or not it's mainstream with the Democratic Party. He says, no. He goes, my issues resonate with mainstream America.
Candidates who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme. That's kind of mainstream America now.
Now, listen to what he says, which is now mainstream America.
The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, rebuilding our infrastructure through a trillion-dollar investment. Our ideas are winning, and at the grassroots level, more and more people are getting involved.
Okay, so let me ask this question. At 222-TALK, 222-8255. If whether it was coming up in 2018, let's say it comes up in a presidential election year, I want to ask you, I want to know for those of you on the left, those of you on the right, I want to know what you think. Let's put this one by one. If Florida is a bellwether state, some years it's a red state, purple, blue. If you put a free college tuition, do you think it would get 50? Forget the 60% to be an amendment. Let's just overall, let's just do majority plus one. Do you think it would get 50%+? I want to know what the audience thinks. I want to know what you think. That's one. Now, you can answer on all of these. Do you think Bernie Sanders is correct? Do you think in Florida it would pass if voters got to vote on it? Number two, do you think it would be free college? Do you think voters would vote in favor of that? Number two, do you believe, and again, we're not trying to say put on a constitutional measure. We're not saying 60%. We're saying 50%. Do you think either in 2018 or 2020, do you think the majority of Floridians would vote to increase the minimum wage, jack it up right to $15 an hour? Okay. Do you also think that Floridians would vote 50%+ in favor of Medicaid for all in here in the state of Florida? I want to know what you think. I mean, would you think 2 out of 3 they would say yes? 1 out of 3 they would say yes? None of these they would vote. I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Do you think one issue would get 50%? I mean, if the $15 hour minimum wage would pass, then why is people like John Morgan, who says, ain't happening, we need to start at $10 an hour, increase it $1 per year. Now, I think that could pass, Roger. Do you think, again, free college tuition for all, do you think that would pass? If voters could just vote in favor, do you think they would pass that?
You know, that
makes you wonder.
Any college or community colleges?
Doesn't matter, any college. Okay. Any college right there. I mean, voters have gone down the aisle of medical marijuana. Voters have gone down the aisle, even here locally, about supporting expansion of gambling for the sake of for fire and police. These were maybe not considered, quote, fiscal or fiscal conservative issues or even social issues even 5, 10 years ago. Or we start moving down that road here where we accept it overall, a $15 minimum wage, or do we incrementally do this here? And what about a Medicaid for all here in the state of Florida? Do we need to expand Medicaid here? Do you think voters would vote in favor of any of those issues? Want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Talk Radio, WBOB.
On I-295 North near I-10, we see a broken down car. And if you're going 95 North, you'll start to slow down around Butler Boulevard all the way to University. There's a strong chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of around 90 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening and a low of 73. 74 now here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out and vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam's coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that on several occasions his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits. And President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
States who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme. That's kind of mainstream America now. The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, rebuilding our infrastructure through a trillion-dollar investment. Our ideas are winning, and at the grassroots level, more and more people are getting involved.
So I'm kind of curious. We're going to take your calls at 222-TALK-904. 222-8255. So let me lay it out. We're going to get your calls right now. Let's forget the rest of the country. We know what some of the other states. Let's talk about Florida. He lists, what, three, four issues? Mm-hmm. Medicaid for all, single-payer health. Number two, free college tuition. Universities, higher ed, lower ed, and the college. I'm not calling you lower ed if you go to a local university. I'm just telling you how some of the, what's called. And a higher minimum wage. So here's the question. Whether it's 2018, 2020. Do you think, not 60%, 50%, do you think the majority of Floridians would support going, boom, right to a $15-an-hour minimum wage? You think, number one, you think they would support that? Number two, do you think the majority of Floridians would support, again, 50 plus one, do you think they would support free college tuition for every individual who wants to go to a college here in Florida? Do you think they would support that? Number three, do you honestly think that they would support, here in the state of Florida, Floridians, a Medicare or a single payer Medicaid for all? Do you think that would happen? I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255. And by the way, for those of you on the left, just tell me where it's worked here in the country of single payer health. Tell me where it's worked. Convince me. I can be convinced. Tell me where it's worked everywhere else.
Yeah.
Let's go to Blake. Blake, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
When we think about Bernie Sanders, we need to remember that Bernie Sanders and his wife are under the kind of investigation that got Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown with regards to the operation of her school.
Right.
So when we think about the claims he's making, we've got to remember he's essentially a dishonest person.
That's exactly right. Hey, real quick, everybody can apply to become a city council to replace Katrina and Reggie, which are not related, Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown. And do we know how many people have actually applied for that?
I think the list is growing now to 29.
That's it? No, I'm just saying, Blake.
I'm surprised too.
Yeah, Blake, I'm just saying, I mean, is it surprising that we have, I mean, everybody's concerned about issues, but yet very few people are willing to get involved? I mean, 29 of the, how many hundreds of thousands of people live in Jacksonville have only applied for that job? Why is the number so low, Blake?
Well, actually, I think it's a high number because people recognize it takes some intelligence and some knowledge. But this whole issue of
I don't know about that.
Something.
I mean, look this up there right now. What are you talking about?
Looking at who's there, right?
Right.
But you know, and I know my concern about that because of the program that I did that I advertised on your show called You Have a Voice. People, and this is why I'm asking you all the time to bring up local issues, because people are not aware of them, and it has to be put in front of them, and they have to be spoon-fed it.
Do you plan on applying for the city council job at all yourself, or no?
if something like that happened down here, I probably would. But the reality is these are district offices,
right.
So they need to get somebody from the local district. And they're Democrats, so for all the motivation Rick Scott might have to put a Republican there, I think he's probably going to try to find some Democrat who's not going to do too much damage.
All right. It's good to chat with you. By the way, we cover local issues almost daily radio show. I mean, we break a lot of the issues. In fact, we get actually jumped on sometimes because by local people that we cover too much of local issues here. But again, it's all in this area. 29 applicants. How many people live in the city of Jacksonville?
Right. And now we were talking to Councilman Schellenberg last week when you were out, and he said that you don't have to live in the district, but if you're appointed, then you'll have to rent a place there. And
well, no, look who's running for somebody's district. They don't live in a district. But, I mean, 29 people. Is it just me? I mean, whether it's the power of incumbency or not, why is it that very few people are engaged in the process? I mean, it pays.
Mm-hmm.
What, about 40-something thousand a year?
Yeah, 49,000.
I mean, why is it that very few people...
With the benefits package.
Yeah, why is it very few people are engaged in the local process here?
Right.
I mean, we all itch and complain from the cheap seats, but yet when we have to get on the court to play ball, heaven forbid we might get injured out there. You know, I mean, 29 people out of how many, it doesn't add up.
And this would be an easy way to get on. You wouldn't have to run a campaign, wouldn't have to raise money or do any of the things that...
You have the power of incumbency,
all you have to do is, you know, convince the governor that you're the guy or gal, and you're on the city council till 2019.
Can I ask a question? What if Mayor Lenny Curry could pick the individuals? That would be fascinating to sit, I mean, and he can't win no matter what. I mean, and that's not a put down of the mayor. I'm just saying... Dang if you do, dang if you don't. If you put this, you do that, then it's based on skin color or whether they're Democrat, Republican. Mm-hmm. We want people to represent our district. Remember the Jim Pickett clip we played last week, that representation. That was the key word. Representation was everything. And I wonder, I'm like, is that a code word that it's got to be of a certain color? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Anna Lopez Brochet, she's not in the black community, but she's going to represent some of those areas, and why not?
Right. In fact, I believe temporarily, she and one other city councilman are taking temporarily over the constituency services for people who live in those areas.
Yeah. But, I mean, does it have to be someone of their own color to represent that own area?
I hope not.
I mean, now, if you wanted to sit back and say, hey, you need to live in the area, I have no argument against that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, let's say because somebody else is black, doesn't live in the district, but because they're black, they know what... No. Right. What about the district's need? I mean, Roger, you and I have covered this. I mean, you're a black individual. I mean, not everything in the black community is based on race. I mean, roads has nothing to do with race. Education should have nothing to do with race. Now, you want to talk about pedestrians and things of that nature, you know, I mean, now that's a different story right there. But, I mean... It's somehow when we use the word representation, we got to have a town hall on representation. Why does that always have to deal with the issue of race? I've always been curious about that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. The email address is ed@wbob.com. Here's one from Shelley. She says, Ed, on all three issues that you talked about, I don't think people would vote to go to an increase here in Florida to a $15 hour minimum wage. Here's one from Malachi. He says, Ed, I think they probably would support a $15 hour minimum wage if it's not going to affect them, but no one ever talks about Publix and Walmart, the companies that can't afford it, and what would it do to their bottom line? Yeah, that's another one right there as well. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here's one from Steven. He says, I think when it comes to the issue, for example, gun control, I think it's a popular issue like minimum wage if your back pocket's not doing well, but when it comes down to it, I don't think people would support it overall. I think it's just a political hype when it fits their need. Here's one from Jonah. He says on the issue of college tuition, well, if that's the point, then why would anybody who's going to get free college tuition, why would they want to strive to get a college scholarship? There you go. So we're asking three items. Would any of these items, you know, pass of an increase in minimum wage to $15 an hour, Medicaid for all here in Florida? And also a $15 hour minimum wage. Would that happen? Let's go to David. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. You asked for a report back from the letters or the emails that I sent to Publix and Starbucks.
Yeah.
Starbucks sent me back a form, said, please tell us why you were unhappy with your visit. In other words, they didn't read what I wrote. and I took care of that. Right. Publix wrote back and said, so sorry that we upset you. Please continue to shop. I said, no, you've lost my business forever, and I joined the NRA. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was based on Publix allowing these people to hold them hostage and customers hostage, almost 2 weeks ago. So you got more of an interesting response from Publix than you did from Starbucks.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got two from them. And by the way, the minimum wage bit, many years ago, I was a shift manager at a fast food restaurant, and they raised the minimum wage, I think, a quarter for me and 10 cents for everybody else. The night before it went into effect, I had to go and change the price board, and it went up more percentage-wise than what the raise was going to be. So all these people thought they were going to be able to eat more, couldn't. So,
all right. Well, David, I'm great for the report, man. I appreciate that. Let's go to Steph. Hey, Steph. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. First time calling. Listen to your show. Typically not the guy that calls in, but I'm going to say yes to all the above. I think 40, depending on how it's packaged, would go ahead and vote for the $15 minimum wage. The college tuition, let me say something about the college. College thing is not as far out of reach as people might think. And for example, here in Jacksonville, we've got, Stratton Preparatory, which you go into high school,
right,
can earn college credits while you're there. So I think if the approach is taken where you think outside the box, not out of reach. The other point I'd like to make is if you did make college free for all, public college, it would become a lot more competitive, and you have ultimately the best students getting in.
Interesting. We need to have more of that debate. One more cog, because I'm up against a break. He made a valid point. I think Stephen's exactly correct. How you package it, I think that is probably the best analysis on how you would do that. Jeanette, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, Ed. I don't think they would pass it. You talk about packaging, yes, but my side, which would say no, all I would say is who's going to pay for this? Who is going to pay the $15 an hour? Florida is predominantly a service industry state.
Right.
Who's going to pay all that? Who's going to pay all of these people $15 an hour?
You make a valid point. But the question, if it's a service industry, Roger, and you're basing it, let's say you're a bartender, you're a server, and you're making a lot more money, do you jack up their wages as well? I mean, if they're making more money than $15 an hour, it's again, like one of the callers said, it's how you package all this. I think we could have a fascinating debate of hypotheticals left and right. More as we continue to move along right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On the Buckman Bridge going into Mandarin this morning, we see a broken down car. Call good chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high near 90. Partly cloudy this evening, 73 the low. Right now, 74 here at WBOB.
Roger, it's good to be back. For those of you that were very concerned, thank you for emails. We had a death in the family, but it's great to be back, and I miss all of you. I'm thankful for all the hosts that filled in. Some of you have been emailing me going, Ed, I totally disagree with you on that issue. I'm like, I wasn't even on the air Thursday and Friday. What was going on? That was Roger. If you have any disagreement, blame him.
I apologize.
It's the cook's fault, as they say. Roger, it's good to be back. We're thankful to God every day for this show. Thankful for a lot of good calls this morning. You can always email me throughout the day, Ed at WBOB.com, Ed at WBOB.com. And we're ready to go tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. The election stuff is already booming up here. A lot of guests going to be coming on to kind of give you the info. Don't forget, Ed at WBOB.com. Don't forget to download the app. Go to WBOB.com. Listen to the show anytime you would like. Bright and early, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.